It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, every night here till 10 o'clock on the El Pacifico and 1 a.m. on the East Coast, and we are on your radio. We're on our website, philhendryshow.com, and of course we are on the TuneIn app that I know you've downloaded and placed prominently on your smartphone, and it's the Phil Hendry channel there at TuneIn. And I'll tell you something, if we continue with the traction we're getting with the great people, the great platform the TuneIn is, that someday, somehow, some way, we'll have our own app, and off we go into the wild blue yonder with that.
Now, you've got to be very careful with... Hi, everyone. I'm Margaret Gray, by the way.
Margaret.
And I want to introduce myself because we haven't been doing that.
Yeah.
Is that all right with you?
That's fine. Margaret Gray, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey!
Well, don't make a big issue out of it.
All right, okay, so you're introduced.
Yes, and watch out with all that app talk, because there are people, there are forces at work here bigger than you, Phil.
Yeah, that's true, Miss Anna, you know.
Oh, there's forces bigger than me at work, huh? Are you talking about radio stations and radio? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I'm talking about radio. You think that you're going to live by way of an app and not a radio station? Is that your thought?
No, it is not my thought. No, it is not my thought at all. My thinking is, yes, I do want to be on radio stations, but until such time as we are on all the stations, we have the option of the smartphone app. That's all I'm saying. So to that end, we're very, very happy to be with the people at TuneIn. Now, I wanted to mention that we are as well... on KNEW in San Francisco, which is a very, very good spot for our friends in San Francisco to go and find out more about the Sketchfest, which is happening, as you know, toward the end of this month. And we're going to be there on the 26th of January at the Eureka Theater for the World of Phil Hendry. So be a part of our first, I would say, first official one-man show performance.
Now, have you written this yet?
None of your business.
Aha! I told you.
Wait a minute. Wait just a minute.
Wait, whoa, hold the phone. You haven't even written it.
Wait a second. Yes, I've written it. Of course I've written it.
I'm not talking about, Phil, the many, many years you've been in the business and the wonderful things you've created. That's not writing. I'm talking about the very specific framework of the writing of... What am I trying to say? The very...
Well...
No, but hold on.
You're trying to say...
Hold on, bud. I'm talking about the very specific... The specific... Let me look at my notes.
The specific framework, is that what you mean?
Yes.
That I have not dealt with, you think? Yes, I have.
So you have been writing.
I've written it. I know exactly what I'm going to be doing. Don't worry about whether I've written it. Have I written it? You know what? I swear to God, this is the only show in the history of the world where people have... They got a microscope up my rear end, down my nose, everybody looking into my life and the background of the things, what I do, and I'm here to tell you I know exactly what it is I am doing, okay?
Well, good for you. Isn't he just... You're a regular Daniel Webster.
Yeah, dude, you're talking bad.
I'm talking fine. I'm doing that stuff on purpose. All right, welcome to the program. This evening, Margaret, if you piss me off any more than you already have, we may not get to your segment on being fondled by the disembodied hand. You know...
Wait just a minute.
No, hold on. Last night, as you guys may have recalled, Margaret was reminiscing about the time we were in Park City, Utah, the driving of the car by what had one time been a brothel there in the Wild West environs of Park City, Utah, way, way back in the day. And Dr. Jim Sadler, who has done some further research on the idea of the disembodied, disembodied, the floating body part, I don't know what the hell it's called, is going to be on here in a few minutes to talk with you about that.
Yes, and I'd like this taken seriously. I don't want a lot of hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo and this kind of smirking, you know?
You're going to expect it.
Margaret, if I might, by the way, everyone, I'm General Galen Shaw, and it's all right, Phil, don't get up.
Sorry, General, I know I should be introducing people, but I'm getting a little sidetracked here.
No, it's perfectly fine. Margaret, the point that I wanted to make was if you are going to be speaking of a disembodied hand that you said last night, and correct me if I'm wrong, and here's where I think Bud and Robert could be very much a part of the conversation.
No, I do not want them a part of this conversation.
Hold on. If you guys keep it adult in nature.
Well, I've got to keep it adult in nature. She's the one that said that the hand slipped in.
See, this is what I mean.
Well, hold on, Margaret, because this is exactly what the point is that I'm trying to make. Now, you said that a hand that was invisible. Is this correct?
I never used the word invisible, no.
Well, Margaret, was it invisible?
It was a spook.
It was a spook hand.
It was the spook hand, yes.
The spook hand?
I am not getting up and leaving. I'm going over to my bag against the door there to get a Roytan.
You're not lighting it up in here.
You want to make a bet on that?
Hey, come on, Margaret.
No.
All right, I tell you what, let's take a break here. No, we can't take a break. It's too early.
Well, who's got a lighter?
Well, Tip, you want to bite off the end of that thing?
Hey, don't tell me to, but would you watch that? Would you tell him to watch that?
What?
He said bite off the end of that thing.
He's talking about the cigar.
Oh.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. So we'll have Dr. Jim Sadler on a little bit later on in the program. Also, coming up this weekend, it is championship weekend of the National Football League. Bud, you and Steve took a break this past weekend for the divisional playoffs. You will be back at it with both championship games, is my understanding, correct?
That is correct, Phil. Me and Steve Bozell will be doing both of them and everything and stuff like that.
Why are you acting very nervous?
Well, I never know.
Well, it's okay. It's just, you know, you guys are going to be doing the game, right?
Yeah, that's all I'm trying to say.
Well, quit fooling around with the paper and just look straight ahead and say what it is you want to say.
Well, I don't know.
Give me that. Oh. Now, look straight ahead.
Yes, sir.
Now, you have to articulate what you're saying. You and Basil, or not Basil, you and Steve Bozell are going to...
Your voice is cracking again, General.
Oh, God darn it.
Let me go get a water.
Do I want you to go get a water? No, I can go get the water myself. I'll go get the water myself.
Yeah, what do you suppose that is?
I don't know, but perhaps a doctor, you know, hello. You've heard of those, haven't you?
Yeah.
Maybe an
But you said, the nose, and ear guy.
Right, the nose, throat, and ear guy. Well, we'll see. You all right, General?
Yes, I'm fine. The air has been very dry. For those of you listening at home or on your app or whatever it is that Phil has been trying to sell here...
Not trying anything. It's a real thing.
Okay, well, yes, the air here in Southern California has been exceedingly dry.
82 degrees again today.
That's my understanding, yes.
You're kidding. Here?
Yes, it was 82 degrees here at the El Pacifico. Now... L.A., it runs, and this is very unusual, L.A. has been running about 9 degrees cooler. Nine! Am I right about that? Yeah, 9 degrees cooler than the beach here. So a very weird and interesting weather system has fallen. So anyway, you were saying?
What I was saying was the air is dry, and as a result of that, my voice, yes, is you can hear it right there.
It sounded good there for a while.
It sounded good because I wasn't thinking about it.
Oh, so if you think about it, then it's going to get bad.
Say that again?
If you think about it, then your voice is going to crack.
So try not to think about it.
Well, that's like trying not to think about a monkey that... If I were to say to you, don't think about a monkey, what are you going to think about?
Say that again?
If I were to say to you, don't think about a monkey...
You said don't think about a monkey.
If you were to say to me, don't think about a monkey, yeah, I'd probably be... thinking about it.
Why?
Because you can't not think about it.
You understand, Bud? If someone said to you, Bud, don't think about a monkey, what are you thinking about right now?
You.
You're thinking about me, you dirty...
Right, watch it. You don't want him thinking about a monkey, do you?
Well, he is thinking it. Aren't you thinking about a monkey right now?
Well, not unless you're a monkey. So I'm thinking about you. I'm looking at you.
All right, now what are you thinking about?
Your son.
Why?
Because you said think about a monkey.
Yow! All right. We'll be right back on the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and on the TuneIn Apparoo. Check it out. Also, of course, On our website, you can sign up for a backstage pass and watch live streaming video of our show. We got all of our technical malfeasance corrected last night. I'll clue you in on that. We'll be back here with Dr. Jim Sadler and more on the disembodied spook hand. Sorry.
It's not funny at all.
Sorry. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Come on now, Mike. Let's go, baby.
Jeez.
Look at that guy.
Oh, Mike Zito. Providing this bit of bumper music. You're the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com and online at philhendryshow.com with our live streaming video, as well as tune in. Check us out on our little channel there. All right. Dr. Jim Sadler to join us as we discuss with him sort of a continuation of last night's discussion, and I thought that it deserved at least some serious treatment, at least for a few minutes. And I don't say that, I'm not trying to be funny here, Margaret. I really do believe it, you know.
Well, you're not trying to be funny now, but you started out with a spook hand.
You called it spook hand.
Yeah, you did.
No, I don't. General Shaw.
Margaret, I do believe you called it spook hand, yes.
Would you take another sip of water?
Sorry. I believe you did call it spook hand.
Are you?
Well, if you're going to sit and...
General, you better go get something else. Maybe get some cottage cheese.
Don't get cottage cheese. That's the worst thing you could possibly eat if you're trying to clear your throat out.
Why is that?
Because it creates phlegm. It's a phlegm-producing food. All right. Dr. Jim Sadler with us from San Diego, California this evening to talk about the paranormal. And this isn't Halloween. There isn't anything particularly conducive to this topic this time of year. It's, well, January.
It sort of does, may not be something that plays into this time of year, like Halloween or a festival of the demon.
What do you mean, festival of the demon?
Well, I don't know. I'm just thinking of, there are a lot of different festivals that are celebrations of the dead. I'm sure you're aware of the Day of the Dead. You're aware of that, Phil?
In Mexico?
That is exactly correct. In the Mexico, in the central part of Mexico, I forget the state, but they have a Day of the Dead.
What do they do that day?
Well, what they do on that day is they celebrate, and it's really not a day that is morbid. It's not a day that is sad or scary. It's a day of celebration for the spirits that have gone before us, those that have passed on before us, and it's sort of a day of festivity. There's a great deal of artwork, a great deal of the representations of the dead.
Well, I have seen the artwork. It is rather stunning.
You know, I always wanted to go to the Day of the Dead, and maybe someday I'll make it there, because I love Mexico, but... it just hasn't been in the cards. You know, it's kind of in a part of the, during a time of the year, I guess, when we're working, we're not really vacationing. But nonetheless, tell me about, you know, why this is a good time, even though we're not talking about a festival having to do with the dead or...
Well, is this a good time to talk about the spook, not spook hand, which is what Margaret...
Doctor, I didn't call it spook hand, Phil did.
No, yes, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Well, it doesn't matter who called it that.
But by the way, excuse me, I don't want him going, yeah, you did.
Yeah, be cool it, will you, bud?
Well, I did. I want it. Dr. Sadler, are you there?
Yes, General.
I did hear Margaret say that she was felt up by a spook, you know, a disembodied spook hand.
All right.
No, I did not say anything of the sort.
And by the way, you talk about my voice, you just went, ah! It sounded like you gagged a little bit.
Well, if you are going to criticize the way I'm talking and every other word that comes out of your mouth sounds as if someone grabbed a hold of your you-know-whats with one of those clamps and just gave it a quick twist, you know?
Yeah?
Margaret, you're getting too far into this. You're never going to get out of it.
Well...
Can we get back to me?
Yeah, go ahead, Doctor.
So, Margaret, what you experienced... is a disembodied body part. Now, I did take the liberty of calling up Nikki on Phil's staff, and she is there in remote in Washington, D.C. Now, Nikki, did you find anything in your research that indicates the disembodied body part, like a floating leg or something like that?
A floating leg.
Right.
Not a specific body part, but yes. I've heard of intelligent haunting.
You've heard of that.
Yeah.
So you just ignored me and didn't do any research and just started thinking about things that you had seen. I see.
Well, she's talking about something. What? Go ahead, Nikki. What is this intelligent haunting?
It's when a haunting spirit is aware of you and capable of interacting with
Nikki,
you.
Excuse me, honey. Would you tell Dr. Sadler to shut up? I'm listening to what she's saying.
I didn't know she was going to ignore me.
Take it easy. Go ahead, Nikki.
Go on, dear.
They can move objects. They can have physical contact with you. And I imagine that it actually was attached to an entity. It wasn't just a hand.
All right. So, thank you, Nikki. So, but was that based on research that you did that I directed you to do? Or did you just cook that up?
Nope. I researched it. I promise.
She researched it, okay?
All right. But, I mean, she didn't start out.
Dr. Sadler, this is not a test of how your authority works. We're trying to get information.
I understand. I believe it was General Shaw who was the one that introduced the idea, or one of you, of a disembodied hand.
No, I talked about a spook hand. Hold on for a minute.
And would you please do something with your voice? I don't want to speak with him, Mr. Henry, if it's all the same to you.
That's fine. So what Nikki is telling us is that there is no such thing as a floating hand. It's got to be attached to a body part. Yes, Robert?
Well, I don't want to tell anybody what they're saying, but do you remember the movie Beast with Five Fingers?
Yeah, that movie was... I saw that movie, yeah, exactly.
Now, hold on for just a minute. The Beast with Five Fingers...
I remember that film, and it crawled up Peter Lorre's shirt and tried to strangle him, didn't it?
Yeah, well, yes, it did. But that was not strictly a spook hand. It was a hand what had been cut off by a guy, and it was still alive, crawling on the floor.
Now, what do you call that?
Well, there is nothing really in the literature. If the hand, what do you mean? If the hand's crawling on the floor?
Yeah, if the hand is crawling on the floor, it was, I remember that film. The man who died had cut off his own hand, Phil, and the hand crawled out of the coffin. And it went into the house, fixed itself a drink.
You trying to be cute?
No, I'm trying to...
No, it didn't fix itself a drink.
All right, well, it was a different... But in any event, the hand went out of the coffin. It had to traverse a large backyard and got into the back door. I don't know whether it had a key.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the hand.
Well, you're talking about the hand and the Beast with Five Fingers.
The what?
The hand in the movie The Beast with Five Finger, right?
Fingers.
I thought I said fingers.
No, you said The Beast with Five Finger. All right, look.
Wait a minute. I'm not done.
You're getting sidetracked. Who cares if the hand had to traverse a large backyard? It went out of the coffin. Where was this guy buried anyway?
Well, as I remember the film in The Beast with Five Fingers, the man was buried in a crypt or mausoleum that was on the property of the house where the man had lived in, you know.
There you go, right there. That is, Phil, she's right. The man was buried in a crypt in the backyard, damn it.
Here, have some lemonade.
Thank you. The man was buried in the backyard in what was a mausoleum, and then the hand crawled out, God.
I know what you're saying. The hand crawled out of the box, right?
Not the box, the coffin.
Well, what has this got to do with the hand crawling down my pants?
It has a lot to do with it because, as Nikki just said, the hand that crawled down your pants, excuse my language...
Yeah, can we clean this up a little bit, if you don't mind?
Boy, you've got some nerve, Phil. Last night you were empowering these two mental imps... to laugh and sing and joke and play as if they were in school with Mary's lamb, and you didn't say a thing. Don't look at me like that.
Well, I don't think anyone knows what you're talking about.
I'm talking...
Look it, Margaret. Yesterday, we were talking to these two guys, Bud and Robert, about your disembodied hand, and nobody knew what it was you were talking about. That's why we've got Dr. Sadler on. Now, Dr. Sadler, if you wouldn't mind, just get to the point here. We're coming up on a break.
All right, well... get to the point. I got this guy over here going, and you know, you guys. the hand that was attached, as Dickie had just told us, the hand that grabbed
the hand that fondled Margaret.
Right, the hand that fondled Margaret is attached to a ghost, a bigger guy. It's not a disembodied.
So you're saying there was someone sitting in the car with us?
There was a ghost, a presence in the car.
All right, hold the line. Dr. Jim Sadler joining us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we discuss the phenomenon of the hand. Whatever, you know, I just thought I'd give it its fair...
Thank you very much, Phil, for giving me a little bit of dignity as I was sitting scared to death. I didn't say a word, and I felt something... as we're driving through ski country... Never mind.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. I'm Phil Hendry. With me is Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, General Galen Shaw, Margaret Gray, and we have on the line with us Dr. Jim Sadler. Dr. Sadler, a doctor, an internist from San Diego, has done some research on the paranormal. The reason why we're talking about this is because it all started innocently last night, Margaret, with me talking about the old houses I'd seen out in Highland Park.
Well, you were talking about, yes, the old Victorian homes, the bungalow style, and so forth, which I thought was very interesting. And then I was thinking of the old buildings that we'd seen in Park City, Utah. Very charming, old Western constructs. And then it reminded me of us driving by that building that had been pointed out to us as a former brothel, a saloon. And that's when I had the very uneasy feeling. Now, I've said far more than I probably should have. I mentioned that the hand, which, and again, I'm keeping my eye on Dickman because he's got that little, you know.
Bud.
Well, she didn't.
I'm gonna beat your ass in front of the whole world. It's going to happen. Do you want that to happen?
No.
No, I'll beat your ass in front of that. How would you like a woman doing that to you?
Well, I don't think. But,
do you want to try me? You know something?
Margaret, sit down.
No. Do you want to try me?
No.
So anyway, I felt the hand go down my pants. There, you want to laugh at that?
No.
All right, Dr. Sadler, go ahead.
Well, Nikki has some very interesting further research. Now, Nikki, I know that I asked you earlier about the hand that is groping Margaret. It's attached to something. Correct?
Correct.
Okay, what were you saying during the break that was relative to that, or was I not listening very carefully? Because I was making some Lipton soup. Forgive me, Phil.
I understand.
So, go ahead, Nikki.
It's either a spirit or an entity, and there is
right.
a difference. The spirit is believed to be an energy that's left behind after someone dies.
Okay.
An entity was never human. It never had a corporeal body.
A corporeal body. Now, what Nikki is saying...
What is that in the background?
The microwave. Just got to get a little cup of soup going here. And if you don't mind, I wanted to make some microwave... popcorn? Are you gonna hurry?
No, but we're on the air. That's the only thing. And Nikki's trying to talk, and we're hearing the beep, beep, beep.
Oh, forget. I'm sorry, Nikki. I didn't know. So it could either be a being trying to communicate with Margaret from for whatever reason, a formerly human, or energy that is not yet human. Now, what would that be?
Oh my God! What is that supposed to mean? Not yet human.
It could very well be from some astral hell. Isn't that right, Nikki?
Could very well be.
How about that? Now...
What are you making now?
Big deal. Some popcorn. Forget it. Turn it off. Okay? There. I won't have any popcorn.
We're on the air, if you don't mind.
You know something? May I say something, Phil?
Go ahead, General.
Doctor, for you to sit there and make popcorn...
Ha, ha, ha. Your voice messed up. What are you laughing at?
No, he thinks it's funny.
Well, get some water and get that figured out.
Why not let him just talk and sound like a jackass, and then he'll learn?
Learn what?
To go to the doctor and get that fixed.
Anyway, so, Nikki, what you're saying is, if I'm hearing you correctly, there is something trying to communicate with Margaret. Is that correct?
Yes.
How about that?
Well, what would be trying to communicate with me?
Maybe it's something from your past. Is it possible that it's a... if this was it, well, I don't want to say.
Are you trying to suggest?
Dog, yeah, that she used to be a member of the brothel.
Is that... Are you trying to suggest that?
I'm not trying to suggest anything. I'm saying that there was something in that building that could very well have been a person that you knew, a customer. I shouldn't say customer.
How dare you?
Well, look, if you want to know what... It stands to reason... that there is something that is trying to, and if it's a brothel, why wouldn't it be a customer?
Well, why? Maybe it's a relative or something, or somebody that lived in the town with her, or someone that she knew outside of work.
Outside of work.
Oh, so now this is my work. Thank you very much.
What I'm saying is, maybe it was someone not relative to that building.
Well, but she felt it. It was grabbing a rear end, and it was right near the brothel. So I'm going to assume it probably was I won't say it.
Don't you dare say a customer. We have no idea that that's what I was.
Well, Margaret, look, we don't even know if we can call that you. It was a different, you know.
They seem to know you, so maybe they know who you, maybe your name back then was Betty, you know, so it ain't you.
Oh, it ain't me, huh?
Well, I don't know. But so it knew you, and you came driving by, and...
Well, what do these ghosts do, man? You know, do they hang around on a street corner waiting for someone to come by that they know?
You want to? If you're going to start laughing, Mr. Henry, you can sit and have a conversation with these two deadheads that you got sitting to your left there, that Dickman and that Leonard, because I'm telling you, I take this work very, very, very seriously.
Well, you may take it seriously there, Dr. Sadler, but the answers you're coming up with are pure balderdash and claptrap. You're talking about, number one, some kind of a spook hanging around in Park City, Utah, waiting to stick its hands down Margaret's pants.
You know, everything you say is rendered asinine by your squeaky voice.
All right, look, I tell you what, Dr. Sadler, I appreciate very much you being on the program. We probably have gone as far as we possibly can with this. I think what we've come to find out is that this is a force, if one believes in ghosts, from the past that knew Margaret in another life that was somewhere in the vicinity of that brothel. It doesn't necessarily mean you worked in a brothel, Margaret, okay?
Well.
Oh, okay. I was about to feel good about that, and he goes, well.
Well, what do you want me to say? I mean, The hand of the goo of the spook sits down in the car with you, and right away it feels a familiarity with you enough so that it starts to put its hands on you.
Well, all right. Now that's something I can sink my teeth into. That's something that makes sense, that the spook would put its hands down.
Okay. Can I say something, Phil?
Go ahead,
Doctor. I mean, General. When you talk like that, nobody takes you serious.
Well, you know something? No one may take me seriously, but you talk as if you're missing half of your tongue, and my understanding is you are. So who's going to take you seriously?
That's Dirty Pool. For you to point that out.
I think it's safe to say that this needs more research. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, I don't buy it.
You don't buy what?
I don't believe in ghosts. All right, I just don't believe in ghosts. And I know that there are people out there that have there's a lot of people that have a very strong sense about ghosts, that they think they exist, that they say they've seen them. I don't believe in them, and that's all there is to it. Now, you asked me, what was that?
Yeah, I'd like to know, what?
Thank you very much, Dr. Sadler. Only one person belches on this show, and I listen to it in protest, not two.
All I did was little.
So I'm still allowed to belch?
Why'd you hang up on Sadler?
I hung up on him because I'm now going to take over the narrative of this particular segment on the show, and I don't need any more of him talking about a ghost hanging around in a corner waiting to put its hands down somebody's pants because it knew them when.
Well, it's like old home week.
Yeah, it was lonely.
Lonely for what?
Well, that he knew you.
So the ghost knew me and saw me...
Hold on. I propose that what that was a moment of anxiety of some kind for you, Margaret. Now, I'm not going to ask you what you, I don't even want to go into what it was you might have been feeling or if you were feeling anything at all. But I know that we can, our senses can play tricks when we're feeling anxious, when we're feeling scared, when for whatever reason we're just not in a comfort zone. We can begin to imagine feeling things. And I think that that's what happened to you.
Well, now you think I'm nuts.
Now I think you're nuts? Oh, I see. So you're sane when you're telling me there's a hand that's groping you, but you're nuts if I say it's probably something in your mind.
Yeah, everybody says anytime anybody's nuts, they say it's in their mind.
Anytime anybody ever says that they're nuts, it's in their mind.
Boy, you know, so thank you, Phil, for pointing. Dickman, you're about as dumb as they get. You know that?
Yeah, at least my voice isn't going all squeaked out.
I don't care if my voice does squeak out. You're the kind of guy that makes me look like a genius. You make me look like a regular Einstein. You know what? I'm going to go. Now I'm going to the bathroom. How about that?
Well, I'm sorry I left, but I had no choice. We're going to take a break here and come back with something perhaps a bit more, oh, I don't know, down to earth. We do have some of that weird-ass weather to talk about that we had. And how that's affecting everything, because it was another weird, weird day today here at the El Pacifico in terms of temperature, man. I'm talking about 82 degrees. It was a warm one. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. What is this?
That is very beautiful.
Get out of here. All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We got caught up with a paranormal investigation here. Not really. I was just looking for this website.
Well, this is the one. By the way, Nikki, I appreciate what she said during the break, which was that at least I'm attractive enough so that a ghost, a man, if you will, that no longer exists.
How do you know it was a man?
Yeah, it's hee-hee-hee. That's a good one.
Oh, my God. Did you just hear what he sounded like? You go, hee-hee-hee.
Well, what about it? How do you know it was a man?
Because I think I know the difference between a man's touch and a woman's. It was a vigorous squeeze. Well,
all right, let's just assume it was a guy.
A guy.
A man ghost, a guy ghost.
Yeah, a guy ghost.
But if you say one more word, just because you're bothering me that much, if you say one more word, I'm going to shove this entire fist right down your throat with a hand grenade in it, and pull the pin.
That's what Jack Pound said in that movie.
That's right. What are you laughing at?
So anyway, what we have here are types of hauntings and spirits and entities. The world is full of obvious things which nobody by any chance ever observes, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Well, it goes into an entire description of types of ghosts, orbs, phantom orbs.
Yeah, it's like in that movie. What was that movie, Phantasm, when the orb come flying through the air?
I don't know. Vortex, like phantom orbs, does not recognize vortex. I'll tell you right now, I would stay in a haunted house by myself overnight. I got no problem with that at all.
You've got to be kidding me.
Phil, now wait a minute. Think about what you're saying.
Wait. Hold on. What am I saying?
You're going to go in a haunted house by yourself.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely, I'd stay in a haunted house by myself. First of all, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? Okay, it's haunted. Right? It's haunted.
Well, yes. I mean, the ghosts and all of that.
Hold on for a minute. Sorry, folks.
Boy, Henry, you really got to get some people to...
Get people to take care of that for me. We had a big, wide-open window here, and we had to close it. All right. So what's the worst thing that could happen if I spend a night in a haunted house? There's ghosts, right?
Yes, there's ghosts, and it could very well be a very frightening experience that could cost you your life.
I'm going to tell you this right now. If there's really ghosts, and they really do cost me my life, then that's a major discovery. That's a major... You know, you're not going to be able to deny that. I'm Phil Henry. I'm not a paranormalist. I'm not a guy. I haven't invested any time in looking for ghosts. I haven't been on the air talking about it. I'm just a guy. So I say, I'll go and I'll spend the night in this place.
Yeah, well, what if the thing, I mean, if it kills you?
If I die from fright or it tears me apart or whatever happens, and that is proof positive for all time that at least that house is haunted and the ghosts are real. But I'm betting that that won't be the case. What I'm betting is that the people that would take up my challenge cannot afford to have me spend that night in that house without something happening, and so they would phony it up.
Well, now, hold on for just now. You're accusing people of fraud.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm accusing them of. If I spent the night in a haunted house, somebody told me the house is haunted, and I go and I spend the night there, and there's all kinds of stuff going on, like noises and this and that, the first thing I'm going to think is it's being created by real people, okay, using all kinds of devices.
Well, how do you know, though?
Well, I mean, I'm just going to tell you right now that that's the only thing. I don't believe in ghosts, so that's what I think would really be the case.
Yeah, okay, what if it's real people and then they kill you?
That's already going to be taken care of. So I'm going to say, I'm going into this house. If I die, the first thing you have to think of is who are the people that killed me? Not who the ghosts are, who were the people? Because it would have to be the most perfect murder ever committed to kill a guy spending the night in a haunted house, challenging whoever it was that is the haunting spirit to make its appearance. Now the next day they find me dead. The authorities are like, this is a death. We have to investigate this because nobody's going to say, well, it was the ghosts. Obviously the cops and the DA are going to want to know what happened. They're going to investigate this. And it's very likely that they'll find out who did it unless it was just some genius, you know, type of a murder.
Well, how do you know it wouldn't be one of those?
Well, hold on for a minute. I just said to them, I'm going to spend the night in a haunted house. I've made it pretty public. I'm talking about it on my radio show. I'm talking about it on my website. I'm on social media. So everybody knows that Phil's going to be in a haunted house. Now, whoever's going to kill me is going to have to do it in the most ingenious way possible because all eyes will be on that house that night. And if a guy's going to go in there and kill me, he's going to have to do it in such a way that he doesn't get caught. Not because he doesn't necessarily want to get caught, but because he wants it to appear as if the house is really haunted. On the other hand, if the house is really haunted and there are really ghosts, it's making quite a leap to assume the ghosts are going to want to kill me, but the ghosts being real would make an appearance and probably scare me pretty good.
Well, Phil, here's the thing. Do you remember the film The Haunting with Julie Christie and the dark-haired...
Claire Bloom. God almighty, did I love that. Wow.
Yes, pretty hot, General.
Man, I took one look at that. And
do you mind? You're talking about a woman, not a thing. Anyway, in The Haunting, Julie Harris, who was always a brilliant actress, a very quirky actress, a redheaded actress, very pretty, but very, very oddball, she feels something squeezing her hand, just as I felt the ghoul, not the ghoul, but the disembodied spook hand squeezing my, well...
Your buttock.
Do you mind if I say that?
Just be quiet, bud.
Yes, squeezing my buttock. Now, those creatures, these ghosts, can make themselves known that way. You don't know what their power is. What if they can get inside of you and possess you?
Well, I'm assuming all those things can happen. If there's really ghosts in that house, I'm assuming they can do all kinds of things that I would be defenseless against. I'm willing to risk that.
Well, you're willing to risk it. You don't think you're risking anything, do you? You think it's all phony baloney.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm thinking. I'm willing to risk it because I know there are no ghosts. I'm willing to risk it because I know I will come face to face with something different. I'll be coming face to face with individuals, whoever, that have to convince me there are ghosts. I'll be coming face to face with human beings. Human beings who are going to try and scare me and make me think it's ghosts. And thus, you know, sell the point that the house is haunted. I'm going to be ready for that 1,000,000%. Ghosts? Who can be ready for ghosts?
You can have garlic and everything. What about that?
Not garlic, you jackball. Garlic is for vampires, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Do I look like the ghost expert?
Well, you'd have to have something that would ward off a spirit. I know. What about the Native Americans when they do the... what was it? Someone does that... I know, Bobby Dooley's husband, Steve, did the, hey, ahoy, you remember that?
Yeah, he does a phony baloney Indian dance. Get out of here. That isn't even real what that guy does. I don't know if there's a way of warding off evil spirits, and if there is, if there's some little ritual, sure, yeah, I could do that just to make people feel better, just to make people think that I'm buying it. But I don't think that they would be needed, because I don't believe that the evil spirits that they have been created to ward off exist. Okay.
Why don't you believe in these things? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, what about Amityville Horror and all and everything like that?
Amityville Horror was the biggest load to come down to Pike since they moved that duck farm down in the 605 2 miles. That was a big load of goose dung, okay?
You said it's goose dung, man. The people ran out of there scared half to death.
Those people are full of it, man. Everybody, that family that said that place was haunted, full of crap. Read their story and the whole thing that went, it's baloney. I'm telling you, the whole Amityville Horror thing was baloney.
So you're tempting the evilness.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing, bud.
Well,
you know, Phil, I don't believe in ghosts myself, but or the way these people do, the way that these three do.
Don't point your finger at me, General.
Well, I don't believe, but you're tempting when you say, I don't know, Dickman, I think, has got a point about the evilness of it.
Yeah. We're going to take a break here.
Well, what does that mean, yeah?
What it means is we're taking a break here, and we're going to move on to something else, perhaps a bit more rooted in the real, baby. We're going to get into some heatwave news, you know, and the Groove Nation that is. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
You won't say you believe in ghosts.
No, I won't.
I said to say it.
No, I will not.
Once was a sweet thing to hear. Say it.
It's the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Yeah.
Like this up, bud?
I like this music too.
Stevie Ray Vaughan, world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com every night. Right here at the El Pacifico till 10 o'clock on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast. You can watch our live streaming video of the show and listen to us on our website, philhenryshow.com. You can also listen to the show live by way of TuneIn, and you can either hear that through your smartphone app or you can listen at our website, philhenryshow.com. We have the show streaming there right now. So there's that. Or you can listen to the podcast the next day on our website, philhenryshow.com. A backstage pass to our website affords you the opportunity to access the largest repository of any radio show, and it happens to be a damn good one. Damn good, you know.
Well, there's an awful lot, many generations of the Phil Henry Show.
Yes. Now, we were talking before the break about ghosts and all this bullcrap. Now, somebody wanted me to talk about spiritualists, and Doug Danger, who is a reporter for the Orange County Courier, is going to be joining us here momentarily. The Orange County Courier, of course, is a newspaper. It's a news journal. Doug is an entertainment reporter, but he has done some investigative reporting in the past, and Doug is under the byline, Doug Danger, gay man, gay journalist, which... is a lightning rod, no question about it, Doug.
Well, yeah, it is, and I am a gay man and a gay journalist. I didn't mean it to be a lightning rod. It's a statement of who I am. I'm gay. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. That's the three steps. Put it all together, and that's gay man, gay journalist, and then there is the overall gay. So there are five steps to the gay that I represent. Now, here is when I do my films, you know, as Margaret knows, all of you guys know, when I do a film review, I either give it a gay thumb up or a gay thumb down, but I don't stop there. I give it a gay thumb up, and I'll also give the gay thumb down. To give an example, this film, 12 Years a Slave, this is the first film that I've given four straight gay thumbs up.
What do you mean, straight gay thumb up?
Because that is an homage to my straight readers. So I say I'm giving it four straight gay thumbs up. And that means that's the highest, that's the best you can do with the Doug Dang gay man, gay journalist thumb up. You know that, right?
No, I didn't know that, no.
Well, all right, say that again.
Say what again, ma'am?
It's Margaret, Doug. You don't have to call me ma'am.
All right, well, what do you want me to say again?
Say again what the gay, what the straight gay thumb up means.
I just said to you,
Doug, now come on, let's not have an argument.
I know, but this is the kind of purposeful, willful misunderstanding.
It is not willful misunderstanding. I don't know what you mean by four straight gay thumbs up.
It means that it's four straight gay thumbs up. There's nothing wrong with the movie. It's all good. And it's so good that I'm going to go ahead and give it straight gay thumbs, as opposed to just a straight, just a gay thumb, you know? Hold on for a minute. I'm sorry, man, but I had a big, big meal just before I come on the air here, because I've been starving all day long. I had a bologna sandwich, and it's not, you know, with the Gouldens mustard fill. You ever had that?
Yeah, that's fine, but I'm telling you right now, I hear one more person belch on the show, and I don't care who it is. I'm throwing them off the air.
All right, but my understanding was, because I got some kind of an email from over there.
Yeah, I sent out the email.
What email?
I asked the email to be sent out for people to be a little bit more relaxed on the show.
Well, no, mine said it's okay to belch. So,
did you write that?
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, you're giving it the gay. We don't have to explain that, the gay thumb up. Let's talk about spiritualism. And you had a hand in outing or uncovering or busting a very well known spiritualist here in the Southern California area. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct, Phil. This was the case of both the husband and wife. Now, they were a team. And this took place, as you may recall, Phil, this is in Santa Ana, the Benjamin family, and both the husband and wife and the son were in on this. The wife was the primary operator, if you will, the front for this spiritualism game, and they were doing these seances. And
all right, so they were giving readings, is that it, or how does it happen?
Well, the way it happens is this. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so I'm not going to go and do a story on spiritualism seances without going right in there. And I mean going right into the seance parlor and staring at everything. I do a very up-close and personal inspection, and I walked into the seance parlor, and I said, now that seance is going to be tonight, right? And this a woman who went by the name of Mazzy Benjamin. I said, now, Mazzy? And she said, yes, Mr. Danger. And I said, I used to call her Old Lady Benjamin. I said, now, Old Lady Mazzy, you're going to be doing a spiritualism tonight. And who are you trying? She said, well, I'm going to try and contact some dead. Don't you know someone that's dead? I said, yeah, I do. And my grandfather.
Okay.
And she said she's going to contact my grandfather. And I know full well she wasn't going to contact my grandfather any more than I was going to contact him. But I went ahead, I walked in, I looked, I eyeballed everything. I specifically eyeballed that crystal ball, you know.
You got to be kidding. They actually use a crystal ball.
Yeah, they do. I seen it and everything. When you go on a Haunted Mansion ride, you'll see it.
Well, a Haunted Mansion ride ain't got nothing to do with it, Dicklin, man. Get your head, flush out your headgear, new guy, okay? Got nothing to do with it.
Well, you're talking, now hold on for a minute. You're saying that there's no crystal ball with a little woman inside going, woo, because Dickman and I both rode on the Haunted Mansion with Harvey Weierman.
Yeah, I know, and both you guys got contact highs, right?
No, Weierman got the contact high.
Well,
what do you mean a contact high?
They smoke weed inside those rides. You didn't know that?
So, that's right, Harvey got the contact high.
That's right. Now, I didn't get a contact high. I that doesn't happen to me. You can put me in a room filled with marijuana smoke. Nothing will happen. It just it has no effect on me.
Well, General, I would love to see that tried out.
You want to try it out in my house, General? We do it this weekend.
I'm not going over to your house, Dickman, and sitting in a room full of weed smoke while you and your friends play God knows, you know, Call of Duty, and I get increasingly irritated with the idiotic strategic moves you make.
All right, General.
You notice my voice hasn't cracked yet, though?
No, it hasn't. Maybe it's happened when you get mad.
Maybe it happens when I get mad, and maybe it happens when I begin to calm down.
All right, look, can I say something, Phil?
Go ahead.
First of all, I went into this spiritualism, this seance there at the Mazzy Benjamin place with my eyes wide open, but my mind very, very open. I didn't want to come in there and embarrass this old lady. Now, I sit down, and there's probably six or seven people there in the room, and she starts in with what I call the Oogie Boogie. You know what that is, the Oogie Boogie is, don't you?
No, I don't.
What are you laughing at?
Well, I don't know what you mean by the Oogie Boogie.
That's the whole gibberish. Is that what you mean, Doug?
It's exactly what it is. That's when they start in with the ooh. Hey, spirit, you know, Doug Banger's here and he wants to talk to his grandfather. Whee! All kinds of noise, all kinds of real irritating, loud clanging. Now I feel the table going up. I see stuff flying around the room. I heard a tambourine going. I heard all kinds of, like a clarinet being played. I heard a truck, a garbage, at one point I heard a garbage truck emptying cans, and you know, as you might guess, it actually was a garbage truck outside emptying cans. I said, now, because I looked at Mazzy, that's when she flipped the lights on, and she said, what do you want now? And I said, because I'd interrupted the seance a couple times.
So you were not letting this go on?
No, I was asking questions, and she'd throw the lights on and go, what's your problem? I said, I just heard garbage cans being emptied. She goes, yeah, that's outside. I said, is that part of the spooks? And she goes, you know, what do you think? And I felt kind of stupid. So she turned the lights back off, started all over again. And she goes, ooh, you know, where's the dead grandfather, Doug Danger? And again, I started hearing clown bells and clown horns and ooga booga, ooh, all that kind of stuff, right? Now I hear that horn that goes, doot, 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 right? And I said, is that some guy with a horn outside? And she throws the lights on again, and she opens up the window. Now, coming up the walk is her husband, who does clown parties for kids, and he was hitting that horn.
What is this story you're telling me?
I'm telling you the seance.
Yes, but Doug, there's a lot of outside noise that you're bringing into this.
I'm trying to tell you what I had to fight against.
This lady is doing a seance.
That's right.
She's trying to contact the spirit of your dead grandfather.
Correct.
You're hearing all kinds of noises that you think are coming from the beyond or not, whatever the case may be. Then you're hearing garbage cans being emptied and a guy with a clown horn. That turns... I mean...
Phil, we're talking about my dead grandfather. If you could have just a little bit of respect, that would be fantastic, man. You know, not a lot of respect.
Wait. Hold on for a minute. The clown horn was coming from outside. It was her husband who does kids' parties, and the garbage cans being emptied were actually being emptied on the street.
That's right. I said to her, well, what's coming from the spirit world, and what's coming from the... She said, do you know anybody... You ought to hear a clown horn and garbage cans being emptied. Does that remind you of your grandfather? I said, no. She said, well, then you know.
Oh, would you get out of here?
Well, I'm not finished yet.
All right, hold on for a minute.
What's wrong? The story is a little convoluted, but it's interesting.
You know something? If you think that's interesting, that's fine with me. This sounds like the world's dumbest spiritualist in the history of the planet Earth. You know?
Well, why?
Why? I mean, you know, if he's telling me that, first of all, she's phony, which means all the noises that are coming from inside the house she's creating, and in the meantime, she hasn't got the brains to keep the garbage cans from being empty. She can't, you know, you're hearing stuff coming from the street. And
yeah, but what about the clown horn?
That's her husband coming up the walkway from a kid's bar.
Phil, you need, you know.
Phil, you know what you need? Let's go get a drink of, well, maybe I should.
Yeah, you're the guy that needs the drink. We're going to be back here on the Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com in just a moment with more from Doug Danger and the spiritualist that he busted, that he outed, that he got, that he thought he was going to get the Nobel or the Pulitzer Prize for. Not going to happen. What a nut. All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Doug Danger on the line with us here as we talk about the spiritualism and the phony baloney aspect to it. Now, this is not to knock anybody that believes in the spirits of the dead can be contacted. I don't know whether they can or not. I'm very much a skeptic, and this is from, you know what's funny about this is, if you were to ask me in my younger years, obviously I would have said, oh yeah, all that stuff, man. I remember when I read Eric Von Doniger's Chariots of the Gods, I thought that was just the most amazing book about how we were seated here by aliens, and how the Ark of the Covenant was actually a radio, and that Elijah being taken to heaven on a fiery chariot was actually Elijah or some guy being taken up to a spaceship.
What are you talking about, man? That's out of on that book?
Yeah, that was in a book, Chariots of the Gods.
I remember that book, and most of the people I knew thought it was nothing more than balderdash. Just a load of old rubbish, old sewage.
Well, General, you were in the military, and certainly there are a great many skeptics to this kind of a thing, but I think we can all agree there are stranger things on heaven and earth than we can possibly conceive of.
Yeah, whatever.
How dare you say whatever?
Hey, watch it now. Everything with you, Margaret, the solution to it is to belt somebody.
You take one look at him and tell me if there's another way. I'd love to know what it is.
All right, take it easy. Now, Doug Danger with us. All right, Doug, so let's talk more about the Benjamin family of Santa Ana, the spiritualists that you did the five-part series on. Now you're at their house. Now they're engaging in a seance for your benefit, right? This was to contact your grandfather.
That was to contact my grandfather. And again, you have to understand something, Phil. I was incognito. I was hush-hush, man. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And so I'm able, obviously, because of my background as a gay man, gay journalist, I'm able to keep it quiet, keep it on the down low, because you have to do that in a homophobic, wretchedly bigoted, prejudiced concentration camp of a country like America.
Wait just a sec. What are you saying about this country?
I'm just telling you, General, that, you know, you're fortunate. You grew up and you were born straight, grew up straight. I'm assuming you still are, and you know, I'm just kidding. Of course you are.
What do you mean you're assuming? Yes, I still am. I always have. What do you mean a concentration camp of a country?
Well, you know, for gay people, General, this place has been anything but a picnic, okay? This has been anything but a walk in the park, flying a kite out there with your little niece or nephew, all right? This has been a holy, rotten, stinking hell.
Okay, Doug, can you just maybe put the partisan speech to the side while we get to the point here tonight concerning this seance?
All right, but, you know, I'm giving you the background of why it is I'm so good at what I do.
We know you're good. Now get to what you did with the good.
What?
I said we know that we know that you did do...
We know you're good. Get to what you did with the good.
Yes, that's it.
All right. So I'm in the seance, and now old lady Benjamin starts in with what I call the ooga booga. She's going, ooga booga, you know, come on down, come on down. It's almost like the Price is Right for dead people, you know. All right, old man, Doug Danger's grandfather, my grandfather's name Glenn, said, Glenn Danger, come on down. And I'm hearing all these tambourines, all kinds of stuff that's got nothing to do with my grandfather. What's a tambourine got to do with my grandfather? Nothing.
What did your grandfather do?
My grandfather owned an electrical company in Chicago, Illinois. He owned a big electrical firm in Chicago, Illinois. He didn't play no tambourine, I'll tell you that right now. So anyways, playing tambourines, clarinet, and all kinds of ooh, all this jazz, right?
Well, were the lights going on and off?
Yeah, that was the one thing where I figured, well, maybe that's my grandfather, the lights going on and off, because everything my grandfather touched, generally the lights go on and off after that. I'm kidding. He had a very successful company, but I used to give him a hard time when he was still here. I said, hey, Grandpa, the lights are coming on and off. Did you do the wiring in this house? And he'd say, why, you lousy, no good, you know, and he'd call me the F word. And
you're kidding me. Your grandfather called you that?
No, he didn't. Anyway,
Well, did your grandfather know that you were gay?
My grandfather knew I was a gay man and a gay journalist. So, no, he did not.
What is that supposed to mean? No, he did not.
What does that mean?
I just got done telling. I said my grandfather knew I was a gay man and a gay journalist.
So he knew you were gay?
No, he did not know I was gay. He knew I was a gay man and a gay journalist.
All right, I get it. I get it.
What you talking about?
In other words, Doug, it's a big, long title that you have here.
No, it's not. It's who I am. That's what I am, man. Okay? Ain't no big, long title.
All right, so now all of this noise, and then what?
All right, well, after the garbage cans outside and the horn, she shuts the lights off. Now she goes for it again. All right, hey, Glenn Danger, come on down here. Doug, your grandson's here, wants to talk to you about all kinds of stuff. I'm listening to tambourines. I can hear a little baby crying. And that's when I decided that I'd go ahead and what I call throw it open. I call any investigative piece that I do, it's like throwing open the overcoat of some old lady and old man to find out whether they're wearing any pants or not. And that's when I decided to throw open this old lady's overcoat, because what happened was she said, now, Doug Danger, don't you have a little baby, like niece or something that died? And I did. My sister's first born died. It was a miscarriage, and it was something that was very, very... you know, troubling for our family. But fortunately now, I've got a niece and a nephew, and they're doing very, very well.
I'm sorry to hear that, Doug.
It's all right, but it was very traumatic for my family. And I said, yes. And then I heard what was the fakest sounding, it's like you're squeezing a doll.
You're saying it was a fake doll?
Yeah, it was a toy doll, and I heard this, wah, wah. And she said, oh, Doug, I think that's your niece calling from beyond, ain't it? and I said, "You dirty old," and that's when I threw the lights on. I pulled open the table that had a covering on it, you know, like a tablecloth.
Yeah.
And I open, and there's all the mechanisms. There's all kinds of strings, all kinds of gadgets. There's a little guy under there. It was her son. He was pulling all kinds of levers. Then I took the old lady. I grabbed her by the collar and I pinned her up against the wall, and I started shaking her. And out comes all these tambourines and everything. That's when I threw open her coat, and I saw all kinds of levers and switches in there. The husband tries to interfere. He comes in with his clown outfit on, right? Now, I'm laughing. I'm laughing as I'm shaking her, and I'm holding off the husband with one hand. He comes at me with the clown nose and the horn, and I said, "What are you going to do, man? Are you going to honk me to death?" And he goes, "Why, you dirty," and he used the Q word, and he came at me with the horn.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Bill, that is not right, laughing at him.
Oh, please. Please. Come on.
Well, where is he?
He hung up on us. What do you think?
Yeah, well, you humiliated him.
I humiliated him? Did I really? Well, I'm very sorry that I did. What did I say? What did I do?
Well, you're laughing. We're getting to the good part, Phil, where the husband came at you.
Came at Doug.
I mean, Doug. With a clown? I don't know.
Well, he said that the husband was still in his clown outfit.
Yes, he did. So there's Doug. So there's Doug, if I'm getting this right. Hey, Doug, if you're listening, which I know you are, I'm not saying you didn't do all this stuff. It sounds pretty funny the way you're describing it, that's all. You got the old lady pinned up against a wall, shaking tambourines and all crap out of her. You got some guy under the table, who I assume is the son, right?
Well, that was that was in the reporting.
And then the husband's coming at you in his clown outfit. So I don't understand why I shouldn't laugh. You know, that's my whole point. There he is. Doug. Doug, look, I'm sorry, man.
Hey, listen, Henry, I have been a reporter.
Hold on for a minute.
Oh, yeah, sure.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be right back with Doug Danger and more on the ridiculousness of, I don't know, of this story, man, and just exactly what was happening with Doug Danger and old lady Mazzy Benjamin and the husband and the son as Doug busted these phony baloney spiritualists in Santa Ana. Phil Hendry Show. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. That's where you can watch live streaming video of our show, or if you'd like to hear the show live right now, no matter where you are, you can listen to any one of our many affiliates or on the radio side, or you can listen to us on TuneIn. So, and TuneIn can be accessed either by way of your smartphone or on our website, philhendryshow.com. You can listen to a live stream of our show right now. On the line with me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. We also have Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, and that is just a very, very quick promo for tomorrow night's show, if you don't mind, Doug. I've got Dean on the line here from Novato, California. Tomorrow night, Dean, you're going to be talking with us about Bigfoot, right?
Oh, that is correct, Phil. Bigfoot is, as you know, a endangered species protected by Canadian law. The United States has not yet passed any legislation that would protect Bigfoot. But the Canadian government has, and tomorrow night we're going to talk about the feasibility of that happening here in the United States. I don't know whether it is something that would be popularly supported. I recognize there are a lot of people who... I'd like to jump in with a question here, Dean, if I could. Is Doug Danger?
Yes, Doug.
I know you are familiar with the Bob Green episode. Is that correct?
I've been in touch with Bob, yeah.
The Bob Green episode. Bob Green claims, Phil, he's one of your guests, I think he owns a supermarket chain, claimed that Bigfoot attacked and raped him on a camping trip.
Yeah, I heard that screwball story, yeah.
Well, first of all, Phil, I wouldn't say screwball story. The problem with the story is it could very well be true, but Mr. Green wants the right, the legal right from the Canadian government. He wants a license to be able to shoot and kill Bigfoot if he sees it on account of he got humiliated by it.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. If I'm Bob Green, I want to shoot and kill that son of a bitch too, okay?
And so I will be very, very interested to hear what you have to say about that tomorrow night, Mr. Wheeler. You may like to know that you don't have to wait for tomorrow night. I don't think Bigfoot should be endangered at all.
All right. That's a screwy story, and I'm not sure I believe it. I thank you very much, Dean Wheeler. That'll be tomorrow night on the Phil Hendry Show. Maybe we'll get Mr. Green on to talk further about that. We have Doug Danger.
I mean it. I'm not the kind of guy who is going to... So this guy, Bob Green, goes out camping. He might have taunted this Bigfoot. He might have insulted it. I don't know what he did, but it took Green into a cabin and had its way with him for 3 hours. Now Green wants to kill it? Of course he does. Why wouldn't he? And I think the Canadian government should do the right thing and give him a one-time and one-time-only license for one weekend out of the year to go ahead and sit in that cabin and wait for Bigfoot's return.
Okay, question for you.
Yeah, no, I want to ask a question. What do you mean, wait for Bigfoot's return?
Well, it's assumed that Bigfoot knows where this cabin is, since that's where it and Green had its initial, or their initial, you know, a moment together. I don't want to prejudge.
Wait a minute. We're dealing with a guy that's nuts. He thinks he was attacked and raped by Bigfoot. Now you're telling me that he's going to put himself back in the cabin where he thinks this happened, and he's using himself as bait.
Right. Bigfoot will be drawn back to this cabin once a year on the anniversary of this event.
So Bigfoot would go back to the cabin in the hopes of seeing Bob again.
That's my feeling, or at least that's my understanding.
And you don't think that's nuts?
I'm in no position, Phil, to judge. I wouldn't want to judge, okay? I would not want to judge. I walk around in a man's shoes, you know, before you...
Spend a night in a cabin with Bigfoot breathing on you.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about that.
Well, you know something? If I had to spend a weekend in a cabin with Bigfoot's hot breath on my neck... Oh, God.
It is. It's a good point.
Yeah, sure. It's a great point. All of you people are flipped. Okay, Doug, let's get back to the spiritualist and the
You're including me in that flipped-out thing?
Yes, I am. All right, let's get back to the spiritualist thing. So now you've got the old lady pinned against the wall.
Look, Phil, if this is going to turn into some kind of a comedy segment where everything's a... then I can go ahead and just bow right out right now, man. I can go ahead and bow. Go ahead and take whatever applause is available to me. Motion for the guy to pull the hook. Grab me around the neck with it, pull me off stage, throw me into an alley where I can get run over by a milk wagon or whatever else you want to see happen to a gay man and a gay journalist. But I'll tell you right now, I've got a story to tell. The story is this, that I grabbed the old lady when I found out that she was phony baloney with the tambourines. The tambourines come falling out of her back, out of her coat. I see the son underneath the table manipulating all of these switches. In comes the husband in the clown outfit. Now we got ourselves a Donnybrook, man. I mean, it is on. It's on. And I mean, I pick up a chair because I'm holding him off with one hand. I got her by the throat with the other. Now, I finally push him away, and I pick a chair up, and I swing the chair at him. I miss him, but I hit the sun, and that knocks the table over, and I see even more mechanisms and gadgets and stuff that was making stuff flying through the room. So the whole thing was phony from the beginning, okay?
Wait a minute, wait. You're holding her by the throat. You swung a chair. You hit the sun. Where's the husband?
The husband, I pushed the husband against the wall. His clown wig flies off. He's still got on that clown nose. And he's got on what's left of the clown outfit. He's got on the big shoes. He comes lunging at me again. I bring my knee up. That's a big mistake with Doug Danger. Don't you ever come at me that way, because all I got to do is raise the knee up. This guy came at me like a linebacker. The knee goes up. And that was all. That was the end.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I dropped some. That was the end of all the lower teeth. And those went flying. So, and then he's out cold. So his jaw got pushed back about an inch in his skull. All the lower teeth gone, and he's out cold. And the old lady is still swinging around, yelling at me, cursing at me in Slovakian or whatever the hell it was that she was talking. So it turns out that I uncovered the phony baloney.
So she had a whole bunch of wires and levers that were making things fly through the air.
Yeah.
All right, that's pretty much the standard spiritualist con, isn't it?
That's pretty much it. I thought maybe they had perhaps evolved a little bit over time, but no. The old lady, she still had the flying tambourines. the thing that gave it away was the baby. This was the niece that my sister had lost through a miscarriage, and the old lady tried to recreate that with a squeaky, one of those things, okay?
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. And I said to her later, I said, Maisie, you've got to be kidding. I said, I would have bought all of it. Well, you're telling me that's my dead niece with the meh. And she says to me that they couldn't get over to, I think she said that Toys R Us hadn't opened yet, so they had to settle for Kmart. Are you ready for that?
So in other words, she copped to all of this, obviously. What else is she going to do?
That's right.
Did you turn her into the cops?
Oh, yeah. Santa Ana PD had her. And all kinds of fraud and larceny and all kinds of stuff getting laid on her. The cop couldn't believe it either when I said about the squeaky doll. And he said, let me guess, Kmart? I said, yeah, how'd you know? He said, because they got that doll there. He said, I had to buy that, he said, for my daughter because Toys R Us was closed. I had to get in to get one more toy for Christmas. I had to go over and get that squeak doll. And I said, that's the cheapest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I drop-kicked it. I said, my daughter had it. She played with it for about a half an hour. When she went in the other room to do something else, I grabbed the doll and I kicked it. He said, I must have kicked it 50 yards. What's wrong?
Nothing at all. I'm listening to the story. All right, well, listen, it's a great story, and I'm glad that you got a winning story out of it, and those people are out of business. I'm glad that you didn't get an assault charge, you know.
Well, they're not going to charge me with assault when I'm uncovering this old lady trying to con people, and this guy coming up the walk from a kid's party. He's a clown for kid shows, and then he goes home, and he steals money from old people who think they're going to talk to a dead baby or something, and they're using something out of Walmart. I mean, the whole thing's bad. It's real bad.
All right. Well, Doug, thank you. Very, very good work, and we appreciate it as consumers. And we'll be talking to you next time, okay?
All right, Phil.
Doug Danger, what do you think?
Well, that's one for the books, that story. I don't think I've heard one quite like that before.
That guy's saying it. I don't know.
Well, what do you say? What, Robert?
Well, we talked about that doll squeaking like a fake doll, right?
Yeah.
How come that old lady's so stupid she do something like that?
They said because Toys R Us was closed.
Yeah, but why even get a doll from Toys R Us or Kmart? You got to get a real baby.
Well, you can't get a real baby. How are you going to get a real baby?
Well, that's the point. I mean, they never even should have had a baby. If they say, well, your niece is here with us and the spirit of this poor little baby is with us, don't have a fake doll voice, you know.
But it wasn't a doll voice, though.
It was the fake. You heard what he said. It was a fake na-na, that little squeaky voice, you know.
Then baby don't sound like that.
A baby doesn't sound like that, no. What do you mean a baby doesn't sound like that? No, they don't sound like that. So these people, and Doug does a whole investigative report on them and winds up kicking all her asses, too.
What? I don't find that funny at all. I think Doug Danger gets a kick out of bullying people. I know that he's gay, and I know he's come up the hard way and all of those wonderful things. No one recognizes that more than I do because I am a liberal, but...
Well,
But, hold on, but... Well, I forget.
What?
I forget what I was going to say.
Yeah, but he's nuts.
That's great. Okay, we'll be right back in a... But he's nuts. All right, back with our weather news here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com when we come back. 855-500-7445. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. So we need a bigger heads up there on when we're coming out of the break. In any event, welcome back to our program. We have with us here Nikki McKee is with us, and she's going to read a story from Fargo, North Dakota. Now, this is a weather-related story, Nikki, that leads into the other stuff we want to talk about. But this is having to do with the snow, right?
Yeah.
And how much was falling. So what was the gist of this thing?
So there's a local, Todd Fox, who
right.
was detained for reckless endangerment.
In Fargo, North Dakota.
Yep. Okay. For illegal use of high-powered fire-breathing weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
He used a flamethrower to melt the snow.
On his property?
Yeah.
Okay. And that was a violation of the law. And did he almost burn something down, or
I guess
you know what? It sounds like a good idea to me.
I think
me too.
Yes, I think it sounds like a great idea. Why would he be arrested?
Because of the danger of the weapon, right?
Apparently neighbors noticed what was going on and they ended up calling the police because they figured, you know, this might not be a good idea.
So they saw all of this fuel burning, flame throwing stuff.
Yeah,
no, but you know something, that sounds ridiculous. I think, yes, you could burn something down, but in all that snow,
maybe this guy didn't know what he was doing. You know, I wouldn't want to see that in the hands of just some jackass. Did he say why he had that weapon or why he had that thing?
He said that he didn't have any other means to get rid of it, and he was fed up with battling the elements, so he used the flamethrower.
But why did he have a flamethrower?
It doesn't say that part.
Now, that's the interesting part.
It is.
Yeah, they got a law against guns and everything. They'd have gun control on that.
I would be in favor of gun control on flamethrowers, yeah. Yeah. So Fargo, North Dakota, huh?
Yep.
Well, I think that's an ingenious move, nonetheless dangerous.
Well, let me tell you something right now, because I'm former military. Anyone that possesses a flamethrower in private life is some kind of a mental deviant. I don't know why anyone would have that unless the man had been in the service and had somehow absconded with it after he'd been discharged.
How easy is it for a guy to hold on to any kind of a weapon, you know?
Well, it's not easy at all. You are discharged with your clothing, with your personal effects. You certainly don't, you're not walking out of there with a flamethrower unless somehow it was disassembled and mailed to a civilian address while he was serving his stint in the military. But I don't know what the answer to that would be, other than to say a flamethrower, however user-friendly, is not a safe item for people to have. And you'll burn someone's home to the ground as sure as God made green apples.
I don't know, man. You know what you're doing.
If you know what you're doing. Yeah, if you know what you're doing, a flamethrower is a great way to melt snow. There's no question about it.
I just wanted to add something to the general.
Yeah.
There's actually no current federal laws governing or restricting the ownership of flamethrowers. Some states have laws restricting possession, but
where was this man? In the Dakota country, the North Dakota? Was that it?
Yep.
All right. What about the state law there in North Dakota?
I'll have to look that up.
See? You see?
Okay, good, General. That's great.
Well,
I mean, maybe North Dakota doesn't have... But the better question is, how does a guy get a flamethrower into... you know, you can make those. What am I talking about?
What do you mean you can make them?
Anybody can make one. I mean, anyone that's ingenious enough can make a damn flamethrower. You can make a flamethrower. You need the fuel. You need some manner, some way of igniting and focusing that flame and, you know, discharging it somehow. Expelling it, however they use those things. They're very dangerous. There's no question at all. But I'm just saying, from the standpoint of the average inventive type, the average kind of guy or gal who likes to putter around in the garage, you know.
You're telling me that you can go into a garage and make something as ugly and deadly as a flamethrower. That's what you're saying?
Yes, of course. Why wouldn't you be able to?
Well, I fear that Phil's right.
Wait, hold on for just a minute. Hold on, hold the phone. You're telling me?
Yeah.
Not anyone behind me?
No, I'm telling you, Margaret.
All right.
And my audience.
That some dimbulb like this one here could go into a garage and construct something that could incinerate a building filled with children. That's what you're saying.
You pointed to Bud like he's going to make something like that?
What do you think I'm going to do that for? Why? Okay, you don't have no answer, do you?
No, I'm not saying you would, but some idiot like him.
We didn't say an idiot. Somebody that knows how to do it could do it. You can make a gun, I guess. Can't you make a gun?
Well, Phil, you can make just about anything you want to make, I guess. If someone was wanted to do... A flamethrower is a very unwieldy thing. It's obviously extremely destructive, very difficult to control. You have to have a very wide a target, or rather, in wartime, you're using this. It's an anti-personnel weapon. You understand what I mean by that?
I'm sorry?
Do you understand what I mean when I say it's an anti-personnel weapon?
Well, a flame, yeah, it's meant to kill people, but isn't a flamethrower also something that you use in combat to burn structures?
Well, you do, but you're burning the structure if there's someone in it. So a flamethrower is a very specific. It is to kill people, and a lot of them.
I understand. It's a dangerous, dangerous thing to have, and this guy was using it to get rid of snow. So we'll figure out. I don't know. You know, the whole thing about how to control weapons, what do I know? I don't know. You know? I mean, people say, well, you know, the criminal is the one that does the crime, you know. And I understand that, and I certainly do adhere to that. But by the same token, because a guy is a criminal, and we are assured of the fact that only criminals would commit crimes, does that mean, therefore, that any and all weapons should be available to the general public? Because it's really not the weapon, it's the guy.
I don't believe that at all. I think you must be flipping your lid. Do you want to make an atom bomb available?
Yeah, what about that? And make an A-bomb? You're going to do that, wouldn't you?
No, I'm not going to do that.
What about an A-bomb? You can't do that.
You're not going to make an A-bomb. An A-bomb needs to be armed. Who's going to need an A-bomb?
You're just saying you could make, like a guy could have it.
Isn't that what you want?
I didn't say I wanted that. That's the thing I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because there are weapons that are so utterly and totally destructive. I mean, yeah, you know, if you use the thinking, which is the following thing, criminals are the ones that we need to be stopping. I agree with that. I completely agree with that. And I also agree with the fact that we now know that antisocial behavior, psychopathic behavior, as well as all kinds of criminal behavior, this is all something motivated by the individual. They are not influenced to do it because they have access to weapons. There's also a school of thought, though, that says that a violent individual may not be as violent if he can't get his hands on some of these things. But I won't even have that argument with you. I think that gun ownership is constitutional, and I'm totally for it. But if you use the argument all the way down the line and say, you know, you ought to be able to bear arms, right?
Well, arms are guns. Isn't that what they are, General?
In the strictest sense, yes, an arm is considered to be something that a man can carry with his arms. That's why we call it that.
Can't call it an arm because it's the guy's arm.
No, you don't call it an arm because it's the guy's... What?
You're calling it arms, meaning they are held by a man's hands and arms.
Exactly. An atom bomb, last time I checked, you need an airplane to drop it out of.
Wow.
Well, General,
Okay, all right, we're going to take a break and be back with more weather news. How the hell did we ever got into atom bombs and whether or not we can, you know, I don't know. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Go to our website, get a backstage pass. Also, visit our online store for some goodies, like our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodies, as well as the Ted's of Beverly Hills t-shirts, Phil Henry Show t-shirts and ball caps. Coffee mugs and shot glasses, all there. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Online at philhenryshow.com with our live-streaming video cast, and we're at TuneIn as well as a great many wonderful radio stations across the country. David G. Hall called up sputtering and spitting and something. I don't know what's wrong. David, how you doing?
Well, I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Well, you realize that story you read about the flamethrower, that's from a... Can I get that? What is that boogie music I'm listening to?
Turn the music down, bud. Go ahead.
You realize that story that you read about the flamethrower in Fargo, North Dakota, that's a gag.
A gag?
Yeah, it's from a satirical newspaper called the Far... So, in other words, Mr. Satire just had it stuck up your giggy with a wah-wah brush.
What do you mean it's a gag?
It's a satirical news... I'm looking at it here. Fargo, Moorhead Observer, FM Observer, and it was written by... I guess these are articles that are written by people that contribute.
So in other words, these people aren't even professionals. They're amateurs, and you clowns got sucked in.
Well, I don't know. You know, it sounded like it...
Yeah, it sounded like it could work. Like, boy, I'll tell you something, man. You have sunk a long way. You used to be the guy that was the king of this stuff.
I still think it could have happened. All right?
No. It didn't happen. No guy busted out a flamethrower, okay? And you did all the research on where it's legal. You know something? I think you ought to just stick strictly to stuff that you know firsthand actually happened, which means anything from your life, Bud's life, Margaret's. In other words, don't go any far afield of that, because you can't be sure if it's real or not. You understand that, right?
Well,
No, not well. It didn't happen, and you guys need to stick to things only happening right there in your neck of the woods. Did you get out of bed this morning? Did you get out of bed this morning?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, then you can report on that. Now, weren't you going to do something on the weather? I'm going to have to sit here and listen to this, because...
Yeah, you want me to have you in the background, Mr. Hall, on hold?
No, you better not put me on hold. I need to listen throughout. I want to make sure that what Henry's talking about actually happened. Go ahead.
Wait a minute. I got a radio show I'm doing here.
I know you got a radio show, and I'm going to listen to the radio show, and I'm going to just be very, very quiet here, listening to what you're saying. Go ahead.
I can hear the car rolling down the road.
Now roll up the window, baby. Hey, baby, roll the window up here. Yeah, we're going to stop.
Oh, is it your girlfriend with you?
Yeah, my girlfriend with me. Yes.
All right. Well, I was going to talk about the very hot weather.
Where?
Here at the beach that we live and work at.
Okay.
And it was very warm today.
Now, how do you know that? I know, yes, you were...
Are you going to be interrupting me?
Yeah, I'm interrupting you. Ever since you reported that a guy had a flamethrower in Fargo, yes, I'm interrupting you. Now, how do you know that it was hot? I know you felt that it was hot, but was it hot for everybody else?
Yes, because I looked at the temperature and it was 82 degrees.
Is that hot?
It's getting there.
It's getting there. Boy, all right.
Hey, David, you know, just because...
Just because you guys come on, Mr. Satire, and you're reading something that's phony baloney and reporting on it like it's real, I shouldn't be here? Yes, I should. So 82 degrees is getting there. Go ahead.
Yeah, 82 degrees was getting there, and that's when I read the thing. So I got out of bed, and I decided to walk down to the beach.
Did anybody see you walking down to the beach?
David, this is ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous. Did anybody see you walking down to the beach?
I guess some of my neighbors did.
Okay, so you can verify it through them. Because I don't want you going on the air and saying you went down to the beach, only to have it turn out to be a satirical reference to a guy walking down to the beach. See what I'm saying? Because so many...
All right.
Get a call back.
I don't care if he calls back. So we read the story, and, you know, what am I going to do?
Well, back on the phone.
What, David, look at me. You can't keep popping on here.
I'm going to keep popping on and telling you, did you or did you not go down to the sand? Yes, you did, because you have people that saw you down there. Now you're walking on the beach. What else happened?
I'm going to answer one more question, then I'm hanging up on you.
Well, wait a minute. I thought you were going to do the segment, and I was going to sit here.
Yeah, you're not just sitting there. You're asking me all kinds of questions.
Who got this story out of the Fargo Moorhead Observer?
We found it, okay?
You found it.
So I walked down to the sand, and I looked at the ocean.
You looked at the ocean. Now, you're sure the ocean's there, because...
That's it, man, okay?
You get a call back.
I don't care. That's it. I'm no more answering of any more questions from him. Am I sure the ocean was there?
Well, you sort of brought it on yourself.
I didn't bring anything on myself, okay? It was a very freewheeling and you know, we're basically what I wanted to talk about. The snow is the snow, man. I was just talking about how hot it was here, man. I don't know why, but it's just been warm, that's all. And it was, you know, I walked out of the sleeping quarters this morning. And where it was a very nice and comfortable, cool, and a beautiful environment. And I'm thinking, well, you know, we'll just kind of step now out into the day. You know how it is. You know, you open the bedroom door, swings open, and I come stepping out in my bathrobe or whatever the hell it was that I was wearing.
You've got that god-awful dark blue.
Well, yeah, you know.
So you're wearing a bathrobe?
Yes, you know.
Like a dressing gown.
A dressing gown, and I step out. And it's like hotter than hell all of a sudden. Now, I don't know how much longer this is, but I can go over to the old weather app, because last night at this time it was 73 degrees. I wonder if they're even changing this or not, or if this is just, they just decided to keep the same temperature for both nights. Last night at this time, I think it was around 73 degrees. It is now 57.
Oh, well, the temperature's dropped radically then.
Yes, it has. It has. It's 57 degrees. It is 9:12, so right now 57. It's going to get a load of this. What kind of world are we living in? It's going to go up to 63 degrees in an hour. What?
Well, there's obviously something going on with the environment.
Yeah, it's the global global warming.
Global warming.
Well, it is called global warming. It was called global warming.
It's not called global warming. It's global climate change. It's going from 57 degrees now, and in 1 hour, it's going up to 63 degrees. I'm telling you, folks, right here at the coast of right on the beach, and I'm at one of the colder spots on the California coast. In other words, you go down toward the southern beaches, the L.A. beaches in Orange County, it's warm. When you get up here around the Ventura County line, things start to cool off a lot. But here we are today. Tomorrow it's going to be 81 degrees. Friday, 75 degrees. Saturday, 73. Then down to 72 by Monday. But in 1 hour, and it's 63. At 11 o'clock, it'll be 63. At 12 midnight, it'll be 63 degrees.
Well, when does it start to get cold or cool?
It starts to drop at 3 a.m. down to 59, and it'll be 57 degrees by 6 o'clock in the morning, and then the sun comes up, and it starts warming up again. By 9 a.m., it'll be 70 degrees. It's a very unseasonably warm spell that we're having here. That's all there is to it, and it happens. And it's not the first time, like I said, it's happened in the state of California, in California, in my memory. Now, L.A. right now is 64, and I'll go over to D.C. where Nikki was. As she was driving home last night, she said she was just enveloped in fog. It's 39 degrees, and it's going to be snowing at 2 a.m., Nikki, but there's no more fog. It's just cloudy, and it sucks.
Yay.
You got it. Woo! Beautiful, man. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with other news. And got a story here. Air Force nuke officers caught up in big cheating scandal. Well, that's nice. The guys that are running the whole shebang, I don't know whether they're running the whole thing or whether it's just, whether they're just running part of it. But, hey, the cats that have the nuclear weapons are cheating on their tests. So we got the guys that came in the lower third of the class, and they got the finger on the trigger. We'll find out. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Don Mixa, who is a professor of engineering in Seattle, has been on the faculty there of the University of Washington, is going to be with us here in a moment to talk about the nukes, the American nuclear program. Well, not really from the standpoint of we're not going to talk about it from the standpoint of the arsenal and the capacity and this kind of thing, but just from the standpoint of, you know, the relative danger, who's got the nukes and who doesn't and who may use them and who won't and what's the chances of a terrorist getting them and so on. Don Mixa from Seattle. Don, how are you?
Thanks, Phil. I'm doing good.
And I can't hear you. If you could speak up.
I said thanks, Phil. Doing very good, very good this evening.
Don, the Air Force nuke officers caught up in a big cheating scandal. We don't have to get into the specifics of this, but how safe are the nuclear weapons of both the United States and the Russian Federation, if you will?
It's the old game of now you see it, now you don't. You know, the nuclear arsenal of the United States is still the most formidable in the world, but there is every chance and every likelihood that you can get somebody in there that has overinflated qualifications. Perhaps they have gotten through the net of scrutiny and the discriminatory process that takes place when we are staffing these arsenals. And you get someone who's a rogue. You get someone that is a wild card. And the next thing you know, you got a shooting war. The Russians are in the same predicament. We were talking about the Russian officer that kept World War III from breaking out back in 1984 when they thought they saw a series of missile launches from the United States. It turned out to be a computer malfunction. Well, the same thing can still happen, but not so much with computers. I think we've got people now that are walking on the edge. I think that they are very much a variable in the in this balancing act that they both sides are doing to try to keep us out of war.
You sound pretty, you know, even in the rather smooth and calm way you deliver this information, it sounds pretty dark and menacing.
Yes, it does, Don. This is Margaret Gray.
Yes, Margaret.
So when you talk about these rogue elements, individuals that are not quite mentally balanced or just politically highly motivated.
Well, I think you have the. I think you have both. If you look at it, but particularly here in the United States, we have a very, very volatile minority of individuals that simply cannot grasp the reality of the moment and are trying to manipulate and otherwise steer this country into a rather bizarre and strange course of operation for the country. You've got these far right wingers, for instance, like the Tea Party. I think the Tea Party is a producer of probably some of the most radically bent and potentially sick individuals that this country has seen in quite some time. You've got some Tea Party people that, if God help us, if they got into any position of power in the nuclear hierarchy of this country, and there'd be no question that these people, with the very, very marginal grasp of reality that they have, and with their personalities fracturing every second of every day, you don't know what they're hearing, you don't know what they're seeing, and you don't know what voices are guiding them. They're bound to...
Let me interrupt you here. You're talking about the Tea Party filled with people who are hearing voices. In other words, actively psychotic.
Are you talking about individuals that are actively hallucinating, making their way into the United States military and becoming in charge of the nuclear arsenal? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, in general, I'm not trying to say that this is an imminent threat. I'm saying that when you look at the cadre of individuals that the Tea Party has created over the years, you see these people as they, they gather in their their wild clothing and their multicolored mandalas that they wield against the evil power of the U.S. government. I mean, you can very well see these people making their way as some kind of a freak army into the inner circles of the inner workings of the United States military. I'm just simply saying, whether they're Tea Party people or not, there's a risk of weird individuals who are answering the call of a voice that is far beyond anything that you or I can comprehend. It's some kind of direction that they're getting from a perhaps a world that you and I could barely understand.
Well, when you say a world, you're talking about someone that's nuts.
I'm trying to give you, Phil, the best possible view as I can possibly give you of what is going on out there. He asked me, well, who's going to make their way into the nuclear arsenal? Who are some of the dangerous people that could get a hold of these weapons? I'm telling you that we have in this country today individuals who have pretty much decided that the direction of the country is the wrong one. They come from the Tea Party asylum. They come from the lunatic fringes of both the right and the left. They are dancing to the beat of a drummer that is playing in a dimension far beyond our own. They are hearing voices that are being activated and delivered to them by way of some kind of a metaphysical conduit that we can barely understand.
Well, Don, you're talking as if this exists.
I'm sorry, say it again.
You're talking as if these voices and this realm and this dimension and this metaphysical conduit exists.
Well, I'm not here to tell you that these people are crazy necessarily. I am here to tell you that these people are responding to stimuli and to reality that is not our own. Whether they're crazy or not, I'm not here to make that judgment. To be perfectly honest with you, I don't think that they are in the way that you and I understand crazy, which is the not knowing what is right or what is wrong. I think these people are very sane, but they are simply getting direction and guiding themselves and others using direction that they are getting from a dimensional field or a molecular reality that is beyond our own.
What are you saying here? Because it sounds, as Margaret said in the general, it sounds like you're buying into whatever world these people are hearing these voices from. I thought for a minute there you were going to tell us that they were nuts.
Yes, it sounded like you were talking about people that were psychotic, as Phil had indicated.
It's just not my judgment to make, General.
Well, do you believe that it's possible for individuals who live here in the United States of America are in a position making decisions and in a position of control of the nuclear weapons of this country, who are hearing direction, as you say it, voices, as you say it, and are getting guidance, as you put it, from a dimension beyond our own, as you have just described it? I'm merely quoting back what you said.
Yes, and this sounds to me like people that are psychotic.
Margaret, it could very well be, but it's not my judgment to make. I'm not here...
Well, I'm going to interrupt and ask you this, point blank. If someone is getting directions from another dimension, do you think they're nuts?
I cannot say, Phil. I don't know. I don't know. Do you know? Do you know what constructs this reality? What constructs go into the reality that you and I are living? No, you don't.
So you think that it's possible there's somebody out there getting direction from, say, another planet?
I am not saying it's happening. If you're asking me, is it happening? I am not saying that. I'm saying we have to begin to build a defense, however rudimentary and however slipshod. It has to begin, and it has to begin yesterday, not tomorrow, not today, yesterday. Build a defense against an infiltration of entities directing humans on this planet or in this dimension or in this reality to proceed to nuclear arsenals, proceed to areas where weapons are stockpiled, and begin to manipulate America's strategic weapons strength to the benefit of these unknown carbon-based life forms, perhaps hydrogen-based life forms, but manipulating the weaponry nonetheless to the benefit of these life forms or entities or pre-human states that may be living in astral planes. I am not saying it's happening. I'm simply saying we have to at least consider the possibility.
All right. We're going to take a break. We have with us Don Mixa from Seattle, Washington, a professor of engineering, part-time, has worked at the University of Washington. I understand he's no longer there. And he's talking with us about, you can put Don on hold, and he's talking with us about America's nuclear arsenal and its the possible compromising of it by people working their way into the command structure of the U.S. military or whatever it is that...
It is the military.
Okay, that controls the weapons. People that are getting their direction from, I don't know...
He's saying they're getting their direction from life forms living in other dimensions.
Yeah.
He said he didn't say it's happened, but maybe.
Look, let me just explain something. I ain't doing any coast-to-coast here. You understand? So if I think it's horse dung, I'm going to say it.
Well, hold on. There's nothing there to call him on. He said that he isn't saying that.
Yes, he didn't say that he is saying...
Hold on. We'll be right back. We'll take a break, and let me just go ahead and flush out my headgear, new guy. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and on TuneIn. With your TuneIn app, check out the Phil Henry channel and get our show live every night, 7 to 10 Pacific time, from the El Pacifico, where it's been unseasonably warm, but I don't think there's anything having to do with aliens or any life form like that. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Boy, I'm having just the greatest conversation with Nikki off the air, you know. I'm just going to say this, and you guys can hate me for it.
Oh, Phil, no, don't go there. You are way off the beaten path.
No, I'm not way off the beaten path. No, I'm right on the beaten path, man. Hey, Don, you ought to hear this.
All right, I'm waiting.
Never in the history of this country have we been further away from the reality of a police state. And never in the history of this country have we been so stupid as to fear a police state as we do today. We are so far away from any possibility of a police state. The American people are so on guard against that kind of thing. The American people are so in need of their freedom. And as soon as they get their freedom, they get all whiny and cry about all of the ways they can be tracked. Oh, God, they can track my cell phone. Well, you wanted a cell phone so you could talk and text and do this and do that, didn't you? Well, yeah, but I didn't know that. Well, now, so all of a sudden, what are you worried about? Well, now they can just find out where I live. They could find out where your ass lived 30 years ago, Charlie. They could find out where your ass lived before they had all this NSA, Patriot Act, and everything else. Do you guys forget that we asked for this? That we wanted the Patriot Act? That we wanted the NSA looking over these records? That we wanted... You think Eric Snowden, or whatever this guy's name is telling you something that you didn't know? At least you should have known. There's no way that this country's... But here's the thing that we are in danger of. Absolute anarchy. Absolute, total... stupid, society splitting and tearing anarchy. We're right there. We're right on the edge of that. We're on the edge of every ass that you see on the street deciding he's going to go off in his direction because he just can't take it anymore because he's just so scared of what Big Brother's going to do. And Big Brother ain't doing anything. Big Brother ain't thinking about doing anything other than maybe holding on to the day. And I know that there are people saying, well, you must be really stupid, Phil. No, no, I turn it back around on you and say you're stupid. I say that you are not only, you're so stupid that you don't see the forest for the little trees that you're analyzing. And the forest, the grand scheme of this thing is, yeah, there's all kinds of technology, all kinds of ways of communicating, all kinds of way of storing information. There's all kinds of. And you use it. And it's been there. And it's been made available to us. And no Big Brother forced you into that. So people say to me, yeah, but now we have the opportunity. They have the opportunity to track our asses because look at this big web that's suddenly been created and now everybody knows everything. When did they ever not know where you lived? When did they ever not know who you were? When did they ever not? And for a country full of people that are frightened of this stuff, we willingly jump into it. Every day our asses are on Facebook. Every damn day we're there on Twitter. Every damn day we're using the same phone that we're afraid the NSA is going to do this, that, and something else. Every day... we are willingly swimming in this terrible, terrible lagoon full of crocodiles and sharks and everything else.
All right. Are you done?
Yes, I'm done.
Hey! Hey, Teddy! Woo!
Nice speech. But it won't cut it, Phil, and I'll tell you why.
No, I'm not going to have a discussion about it.
Oh, you're not going to have a discussion about it?
No, I'm not going to have a discussion about it because I'm sick of talking about this because all it does is get me more angry and more perturbed, because I'm talking to people that don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. I'm not going to talk about this.
So I don't even get...
No, you don't.
Well, Phil...
No, neither do you. I'll talk to Don. I'll talk to Don about it. And Don, through Don, you guys can hear your opinions. Because I take it, Don, you believe that we're right on the verge of a dictatorship.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to tell you? The diatribe that you just jumped into there, and there's so much that's wrong with what you just said. I mean, first of all, you're saying that as people, the American people are willing to be subjugated. I don't think I've ever seen a people less willing.
Well, then why are we jumping into the cell phone, Facebook, social media, multi-platform, this, that every single day we willingly immerse ourselves in this toxin that we say is about ready to do us in?
Because we have no choice.
We have no choice.
No, we have to. It's the way that we communicate. It is the way...
It's the way that we text. It's the way that we sext. It's the way that we send pictures of our penises. Is that what you're talking about?
No, Phil, you're talking about a minority of people. We have no choice.
We have no choice.
Can I finish saying what I'm saying?
Phil, let him finish.
Go ahead.
we have to do what we have to do to survive. We have to use the cell phones. We have to use the computers. We have to use the, yes, in many instances, we do have to use social media, not because we're necessarily sending a message to our girlfriend, but because in your case, for instance, Phil, you use it to promote your radio show and so forth. And there are other businesses that use social media in much the same way. So we've gotten to a point where we really don't have a choice. We live in a world now where we can be tracked and we can be pretty well pinpointed no matter where.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. I don't know whether you or anybody you know watches this Investigation Discovery. I'm always talking about this ID.
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Now, they have a show on there called Disappeared. Have you heard about this show, Disappeared?
Well, I've seen it, and I think you're going to tell me there's people disappearing all the time.
People disappearing all the time. People disappearing all the time. They can't find them. They don't know where they are. They got cell phones. They got cell towers. They got computers. They got email. They got the last websites these people miss. They can't find them. Okay?
Well, in a lot of instances, Phil, those people have been killed. You know as well as I do that most likely there's been a homicide.
Okay, and that would, as far as I could tell, that would be the easiest thing to track. If you know that an individual is gone, they're off the grid, let's say, and the likelihood, therefore, is that they are dead, you have to assume they're dead because you can't find them, right?
Well, yes.
Then why can't you find them dead? If an individual, if we can track people so well that we know exactly where the last phone call was, we know exactly where the last email was, we know exactly where the last website was that they tracked, we know exactly where the last GPS spotting of these people were. Well, you know pretty well, therefore, the last place they were alive. And because their existence ended there. And you can probably pick up who they were with. I mean, you're talking about a country and an informational and tracking web that has been constructed in this country where no one is safe. Everybody is tracked. Everybody is seen. It's Fahrenheit 451 or whatever the hell it was, you know.
Well, it's Fahrenheit 4, yeah, you're talking about the Ray Bradbury book, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that was a society where they had helicopters, okay? That's how they were tracking people. But today, so that was a society that was probably on another planet.
No, that was Earth.
In the book by Ray Bradbury, Fahrenheit 451?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't look like Earth because it's a society where they only have helicopters. They've got helicopters and televisions. That's all they have.
Yes, but he's talking about tracking people. I don't think it was supposed to be literal.
Yeah, it's not literal. It's just the informational. It's the way people come together to track each other.
Right, but that society that Phil's talking about in Fahrenheit 451 is a very primitive society because all they've got are big TVs and helicopters. You listen to me? Whereas here, we have far more that we can track people with, so I don't know why you brought up Fahrenheit 451.
All right, so it's a primitive society, but the fact is that it's a society where a person's movements are followed and tracked. All right, 1984, that's a world that didn't exist either, or doesn't exist.
Well, I, you know, it's about to exist, though, because we are about to be enslaved by a government that has very carefully tracked all of our dollars, all of our, where we are, and where our people, our family members are, and where our money is. Probably where we've stored a lot of our money. So they're just now finalizing. I would think that if the government was planning on doing this, they're just now finalizing where all the money is, where everyone, the humans are, and they then can drop the net. We're herded into concentration camps or whatever you want to call them, and all of the wealth is then siphoned into a large repository, and then we are slaves. In camps and fed only, what they think we should eat. And meanwhile, they're... You see what I'm saying?
No, I don't see what you're saying. No, I don't. There's nothing that you just said that is of any... that even remotely smacks of reality.
Well, all right, I'll give you another scenario then.
Go ahead.
Boy, I want to ask Margaret and General Shaw, so you got to put up with this ass every night, huh?
Yeah, pretty much every night.
Wait, why am I an ass?
Well, because the stuff you're saying is First of all, Phil, you're saying that's impossible.
What you just said to me, which was that the government will spring the net, they'll drop it on us, put us into concentration camps, siphon off all the wealth, and then it's just a great world for a handful of people as the rest of us are slave laborers. I'm telling you, that is the most unwieldy and unworkable and ridiculous scenario I've ever heard in my life. First of all, what are they going to use us for, man? Are they going to kill us? I mean, I guess they'll have to have a genocide because it's going to be far too many people for the stuff that they'll need. All they need is to have us, you know, work a few hours a day to keep, what, five or six guys wealthy? How does this world work, man? I bet you anything that I have to believe in the Illuminati, and therefore I probably have to believe that it's all run by Jews, right?
Boy, I'll tell you, you are a very, very warped individual, Phil.
Well, isn't that what it is, man? Isn't that what all of you nuts think? I mean, if you're buying into the government dropping the big net on all of us because of the NSA, this, that, and Eric Snowden and the rest of these jackasses, and they're doing this for some purpose, of course, we don't know what it really is, but it must have something to do with a cabal, a minority of people operating some cabal of power. And I would have to say that most of this fantasy, most of this hallucination has been drawn from the Jews take over the world Illuminati banker thing. Is that it?
Forget it.
I thought that was very rude of you, Phil.
You didn't give him a chance to talk.
I gave him a chance to talk. I gave him a chance to talk. And he talked. And,
Yeah, he brought up the Jews and everything. That's when he got all offended and everything.
Well, isn't that just too bad? You know, here's the thing, man. If you want to buy into that, if you want to buy into now's the time that the government has all of our addresses and our phone numbers and...
Quit being sarcastic, Phil.
No, I'm not. No, I won't. Now's the time. The government has our addresses and they have all that. Now's the time they're going to spring it and take us down and we're all going to be enslaved. All right. So now, what is this world that it will be existing? We're all enslaved. There's a handful of people that have the power. All of this stuff, I'm telling you, comes straight out of the turn of the 20th century paranoia first launched by the Protocols of Zion, which were written by the Russian secret police in order to slander the Jewish people and create a reason to keep the czar in power, keep the poor people down, and scapegoat Jews, as they've been doing, or as they did, for centuries, up until the Holocaust of World War II. You know what? I don't have any patience for anybody that's buying into that, so there you go.
Well, you'll be happy to know that Don Mixa just called. I just spoke with him. He said that you were just running your big fat mouth and wouldn't let him talk. He'd like to be on another time to state his case.
I gave him a chance to state his case. He never stated his case.
Yeah, all he said was he's talking about, you know, them, you know, they're going to take over.
Look, this nut just said that there are people in control of the nuclear arsenal of America who are hearing voices from another dimension. Okay?
Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, okay.
No,
that's fine.
Oh, wait a minute. When you go, yeah, okay, that leaves the impression with the audience that you think I'm a drooling idiot. Yes or no?
I don't think you're a drooling idiot, but...
I drool?
There may be drool, yes.
Boy.
Right, we're going to be right back here. I'm sorry, General, but you asked me to, you know, you asked a question. I'm giving you the answer. It's world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. And we're going to be right back here with more as we close out this just fantastic night of information. All right, Phil Hendry Show here at philhendryshow.com. So I got all kinds of people pissed off at me now. I just know this.
I know Nikki is very upset with you because she, like I...
What is this? Is this...
Some music is what it is.
I know it's music. My question for you, Phil, now, as a member of the United States military, I, of course, have great faith in our Constitution. I have great faith in the wisdom of the civilian leadership of our country. I don't doubt that much of the paranoia that is... as you call it, paranoia, suffered by the American populace now, is directed at the fear there would be a military coup, a military takeover. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, probably. But what difference does it make, you know?
What do you mean, what difference does it make? It makes a great... If you're a military coup as opposed to a foreign takeover, you see, would mean something different from a foreign takeover.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't think anybody thinks it's a foreign takeover. It could be a military coup. It could be a... Who cares, you know? But my point is, what difference does it make if it's a military coup or not? My point is simply this. Who, in their craziest, wildest hallucination, believes that the American people are ripe for a totalitarian dragnet to fall over top of them and stifle them in their freedoms? Only the most, I really believe, only the most uninformed, only the most historically ignorant, only the most disconnected from reality. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of stuff that has to be happening for people to believe that. And if this is a prevailing fear, then I've been wrong. I mean, I thought that by and large, as a people, we're pretty sensible. I think when you know, you put it all together, yeah, there's a few nuts, but most of us are right down the middle with it, you know, and we're, well, let's just wait, you know, just work hard and get through it and keep our eyes open. That's how you live your life. But, you know, if we're talking about this guy Snowden having opened up a real vein of fear, you don't know anything about how things work, either psychologically, either realistically and politically, sociologically or historically. The fact that there is an amazing web of communication in America is no surprise. It has been something that we've been working on as a government, as a military, as a people, as a civilian reality for a long, long time. We've looked forward to it. We've enabled it. We've celebrated it. We've been excited about it. And you can't tell me, because I won't believe you, that nobody during that entire period that we were building the internet and building the Wi-Fi and building the smartphones and building this communication, you can't tell me that we didn't have brain surgeons sitting out there and saying, wow, you know something, with all this technology, the government can spy on us. You know, that was a given. But the very first Apple ad for the Apple computer, the laptop, the personal, you know, I hate to call it a PC because I know it's not, but the first consumer-friendly Apple computer in 1984 utilized the imagery of 1984, of the Big Brother and of the lady coming in throwing the Olympic hammer and smashing the screen and all the robots are free, right? So we knew that we were entering a world of hyper communication and information. You can't tell me the guys that like the Gateses of the world, like the Jobs of the world, and anybody else that was using a computer then or was alive then wasn't aware. It was 1984. It was the year that George Orwell had put on the cover of his book as a symbol of the totalitarian takeover of humanity in some distant future. You can't tell me that we have not been aware of what we have been doing all along. Now, just because you're brain dead doesn't necessarily mean that the things that are happening in the progression of society are evil. Because you're dumb doesn't mean the new information that you're getting is an evil and destructive and soul-decaying force. It just means you're dumb and uninformed. Gee, I didn't know that the Patriot Act said all of that. Well, what do you want me to tell you? Well, now I've decided, oh, you in all of your wisdom now, 5 years, 6, 7, 8, 9 years later, now all of a sudden you woke up. And now you're going to tell me the Patriot Act, there's two presidents, one of them a Republican, the other one a Democrat, one of them pretty conservative, the other one considered progressive, and they both agree on it. It's something we wanted. It's something the American people demanded after 9/11. Now, all of a sudden, we forgot all about 9/11 and tracking all these bad guys. And now we want to make sure that some jackass is sitting in Hong Kong and Moscow, wherever he is, just spilling all the beans all over the world because this is all of a sudden evil because we all of a sudden just woke up. because we all of a sudden just woke up from our nap.
Well, I've never been more insulted in my life.
Why you?
Because I was napping.
All right.
Think about that, Phil. Think about the people you've insulted tonight.
We'll see you tomorrow night, folks.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow night, folks. What a smart ass. Think about it, Phil. Think about it long and hard, Mr. Henry.
Long and hard?
How dare you?